You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. If you binge watch a whole bunch of episodes of your favorite TV show, you might have fun doing it, but you might be setting yourself up for sleep problems, according to a recent study.
And our next guest says that it's just one way that overusing screens, TVs, phones, computers can be bad for your health.
Jan Vandenbulk is a professor of communication studies at the University of Michigan. He's a co-author of a new study on sleep and binge watching, and he researches the impact of digital media on our health. Jan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Go ahead.
Let's focus in on this new study on binge watching and our sleep. Why is it bad for our sleep?
Well, I think there's something very peculiar about binge watching. I mean, we've been watching television for about 60 years now, so we kind of know what that does and doesn't do to us. But there's something new because of binge watching. We used to have to wait a whole week to watch the next episode of, say, Bonanza or whatever when we were young a long time ago. But now you can if you like something, you can get as much of it as you like. And so by definition, it means you're watching something that really engages you. And television is made that way. If you're watching Game of Thrones and your favorite character is about to die or it looks as if he might die, it's perfectly normal to want to watch the next episode and find out what goes on. But it means that we kind of build up a lot of immersion is a word we like to use. So you get sucked into the story, and that engages us much more than the more traditional ways of watching television, where you may watch half an hour of sports and maybe some news and a comedy show. That wasn't as exciting and as engaging as what we sometimes do now.
And in this study, you surveyed a bunch of people. I think they were 18 to 25 to find out their binge-watching habits and how they felt, their fatigue, how they slept. What kind of things did you find out?
So what we found is that it does seem to impact sleep in a number of ways. One is it makes it harder to go to bed. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. So that's certainly one thing. But then the other thing is because you get more excited, as it were. I mean, we use the word arousal, but that means a lot more or a lot more different things to us than it does in ordinary life. But so you get mentally aroused, you get excited when you watch something you really like, and that makes it harder to fall asleep once you finally manage to go to bed. So that's the second part of the equation.
It's not just binge watching. You say you've been studying the impacts of a lot of kinds of media use on our sleep and on health more generally. What made you tackle that topic?
Well, so media use is often seen as something trivial because what we do with the media is often seen as trivial. You know, you're going through Facebook pages. It's even hard to describe what you're actually doing when you do that. And so there was a time when we used to think that that's just trivial. It's just stuff we do to fill time. But gradually you see that more and more of what we do in life seems to be tied to the media. People now have trouble staying away from Facebook at work. And I think the best example is now that most of us have smartphones, we carry a little device with us all the time that gives us television if we want it. We can watch movies. We can check our work emails. We can go on Instagram and all the stuff that distracts us. And we take it to bed with us. And sometimes people say, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. Well, if you're not the person who watches television in bed, you're probably going to be the person who checks his emails right before he goes to bed just to make sure nothing important happens. So not everyone, but most of us struggle one way or the other with limiting our media use because access to it has become so easy.
We're talking to Jan Vandenbulk from the University of Michigan about how our screen habits from TVs to smartphones affect our sleep and our health. And Jan, in a talk you gave that I watched online, maybe ironically, I don't know, but you talked about the big problem, not just being media in and of itself, but mindless media consumption. What do you mean by mindlessness in this
case? I don't say that media use is bad. In fact, I'm someone who watches a lot of television and I enjoy doing it. But what I think the issue is with a lot of our media use is exactly that, mindlessness. And by that I mean we don't really pay much attention to it. Like as a researcher, that's actually a problem for me because if I ask people, how often did you go on Facebook yesterday, or how many hours of television did you watch? That's actually a really tough question to answer because we don't really think that much about it. So that's in my view, that's the big issue at the moment. And it also tells us what we can do about it, because I'm not telling people watch less television or stay off of Facebook or something like that. I just think that it's healthier for all of us to be a little bit more aware of what we're doing. I know that if I watch certain TV shows late at night and I start binging, that it's going to be difficult for me to go to bed on time, or I may end up having nightmares. Well, if you're aware of that, and once you become aware of that, then that tells you maybe this isn't the show to watch right now. So that doesn't mean you can't watch any television. It doesn't even mean you can't binge anymore, but it means that you have to become aware of your triggers.
And the tricky thing here is, you know, Facebook and Twitter, they're bottomless. You can always keep scrolling. The binge watching, there's always another episode until you finally run out of the last season. All these things seem to be designed to keep us watching without thinking, without consciously deciding to keep going. Is that right?
Exactly. That's the thing. We make a decision, sometimes consciously, sometimes not, but we make a decision to start doing this, but we almost never make a decision to end doing this. So you just tell yourself, I'll have a quick look at my emails, or let's just have a quick update of what's going on Twitter. But then you see something interesting, or you click on a link or something, and you're hooked. And I think that's what happens a lot of the time. And that's what's making this so difficult, because almost any other thing in life, we are somehow in control. But here, the media are designed to make us like them. That's why we're watching. That's why we want to see the next episode. And so there's this sort of external power that's making it really difficult for us to, I'm going to say something that I don't mean literally, but it's almost as if we have trouble regaining consciousness and getting back in control.
Let's get more into the health consequences now, because you went into, in addition to studying communications, you studied epidemiology. So you mentioned that people think of our media consumption as trivial, and I think a lot of people don't think of sleep as a big deal. But if we're losing sleep because of our media consumption, that has serious effects on us, doesn't it?
Right, and I think the right way to look at this is it's okay to lose sleep once. I mean, if something important is going on today, I mean, ask any student, then you can always give up 1 or 2 hours of sleep. But if you do this regularly, you're starting to build up a problem. And we live in a society where you're not supposed to care that much about sleep, so it's really tempting to go to bed too late again and to use up some of that time. It feels as if it's unproductive time, but in the long run, lack of sleep is a serious issue. I mean, it affects school grades, it affects work performance, it's been tied to car accidents and what have you, so it's a big deal.
And you're also worried about obesity related to our screen consumption, and in a talk you said, well, people think, oh, we're not consuming calories by looking at a screen, but in fact, we usually are, it sounds like.
Well, yes. So the screen itself doesn't do anything to us. I mean, it's not as if the rays that come from television make us gain weight. But what often happens, and I'm certainly someone who struggles with that, is, you know, you're watching television, you get used to having a snack, and then you get distracted, and before you know it, even though you didn't plan to, you end up eating a whole bag of potato chips, for instance, or consuming, I don't know, a gallon of soda or something along those lines. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that behavior as long as you know when to start and when to stop.
How do we start to cue ourselves to, you know, have an end time to our TV watching session or our social media or email session, and maybe an end point for that bag of potato chips before we finish the whole thing?
Well, with very few exceptions, I don't think most of us are in a lot of trouble, so we don't have to beat ourselves up about it. But and that means that it's okay to have an occasional binge, and it's okay to miss a couple of hours of sleep for if something important is happening in your life or something you really care about. But I think it is good to become more aware of it and to teach yourself those little triggers. I mean, one little thing, but that could make a big difference, is something like Netflix starts the next episode within seconds unless you're really alert and you're able to make that decision to stop watching really fast. Well, you can switch that off. You can go to the options in Netflix and make it so you have to consciously decide to watch the next episode. It won't stop you if you're someone who has no self-control. But if you're someone who worries about this and thinks, that actually makes sense, that's a good thing to work on, then you've just regained a little bit of control. You've added that little moment where you can tell yourself, maybe I shouldn't watch the next episode. There's always tomorrow.
How about kids who are growing up in an era of infinite media availability? What do we tell them? What do we teach them?
Well, there's a couple of things, and I think one big thing that we as parents are insufficiently aware of is kids learn by modeling. If you tell your kids they shouldn't be doing that, or they shouldn't be watching so much television, or they shouldn't be on Instagram all the time, there's a good chance that you as a parent have your laptop open or your phone at that moment, and you're actually going through your emails or something like that. So that's a big first step. Just realize that when you're doing this stuff, those little eyes are looking at you and they're learning. So that's one thing. The other thing is they grow up with this stuff much more than we did, and I think this still applies to most parents out there. So they've never known anything else, and they probably need a little bit more guidance than we would have needed in the same circumstances. So don't take this for granted and realize that your kids need to be told when it's good for them to spend less time with the media. Again, I'm not saying they shouldn't, because they get a lot out of it. Schools expect them to use all this stuff for homework and whatnot. But it's good to be more aware of this and to turn this into conscious decisions instead of allowing the screen to make the decisions for us.
A lot of food for thought. Jan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Jan Vandenbulk, professor of communication studies at the University of Michigan. We've been talking about his research on the health impacts of too much screen time.